So as we conclude the book of Hebrews, like I said, we've got two more weeks. Next week, I think I'm going to do more of a summary of the whole thing. And I'm actually starting to think that every time we finish a book, because praise be to God, what we do here is we go through the entire book. We went through all of John, all of Matthew, so that you have an entire experience of the Word. So we've gone through all of Hebrews, and like I said at the beginning, I didn't intend to do that. I intended to use it as a little bridge to get into Christmas, and I figured we just kind of move over to Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus, but we never did that. Because Hebrews is so rich. We did it once for Christmas Day, but that was about that Christmas Eve service. But even that connected back. So why is Hebrews so powerful? I'm going to put that into that whole summary, too. Well, because we have to get back to our audience. I came out of television, and it was all about the audience, the people who would watch a commercial. How do I get them to respond, to react? My client would be spending $70,000, $100,000. My salespeople would be like, we got to make this work. It better work. You better have something really good creative going on here. A lot of pressure. But I would always come back to like, okay, I'm the audience, and I'm looking at this screen, and how do I make it connect? How do I make them react? How do I make them, why do I care? Our audience here is the people that the author of Hebrews has talked to. It's a new-founded church, and they're suffering severe persecution. They're suffering persecution on a financial level, that they're not allowed to work. They're suffering persecution on a physical level, that they're being beaten and flogged. They're suffering on a social level, that they're being outcast. They're getting it from all the way around. And so what our author is trying to tell them is it's worth it. Don't give up. Keep on keeping on. He goes all the way back into the Old Testament, all of God's promises, and shows them how God is bringing forth all those promises to fruition today. That all the things, and I think we can relate, we have our challenges. We even prayed about that. That we have challenges in this world, don't we? Sometimes you just want to say, heck with it. I'm done. I'm out. You know, I'm just going to lay in bed today. I'm getting heads nodded. I know, right? And other days, you know, it's just so filled, so busy, I can't get everything done. Can you relate?
Yeah.
And then there's that in-between time, like, well, what do I do with my time? I don't know if there's too many of us with that one. I have that a little bit. I'm a little more semi-retired, so, you know. But whatever the case is, we have our challenges. We have our health challenges. We have our family challenges. We have that call at 1 o'clock in the morning. They're on their way to West Virginia. They haven't made it yet. You know, number one thing for a parent, I think, is just plain worry. Of course, I want to change that word to concern. Worry means you're just spinning, not doing anything about it. Concern means that you're concerned about what's going on and you're taking some actions so that you can take some steps, which is a prudent thing to do. So the author of Hebrews, he's got a lot on his plate. He's got a lot to do here. He's got a lot to accomplish. He's got to help them understand what this is all about. And then today, what he's going to tell them is kind of crazy. And maybe it's kind of crazy for us too. He tells them to be content. Content, really? I can't work. They won't let me in the synagogue. They're persecuting me and my family. I'm an outcast of society. But I'm supposed to be content. I can barely make ends meet. I don't have enough food on the table, but I'm content. So today what I want to talk about is the secret of being content. And I'm just going to put it out there. I struggle with being content. Can I get an amen?
Yeah.
I'm not always content. I told you I came out of television, I came out of advertising. My job was to make you so you're not content. I want you to want things so that you can go buy something. And how many people have ever bought that new car and you had the car for about 3 weeks, 4 weeks? And then I'm looking at Tisa, you know, amen, you know, and then the troubles start, right? Or you know, you see another one on the road that looks better, or and maybe, oh, I picked the wrong color, or you know, I could have gotten something better, and you know, and then you see the next, you know, and it's on and on and on it goes. And now with social media, it's even worse, because all these people are faking everything out. And you're seeing everyone going and doing vacations and everything else, and you don't see the other half, right? You only see the one part of it all. So to be content, it's kind of hard sometimes. I'll just put it out there. So we're going to get to it, David. We're going to get to it. We'll talk. So remembering where we came from in this with Hebrews, that he has helped them discover, first and foremost, I'm going to even use this, I'm putting together now, because they want a message at this wedding for Adam and Emmy. They want a message, I only get 10 minutes, by the way, but they want a message about people coming to the Lord. Not about them, but they're going to also be interspersed into it. So I'm struggling, like, man, there's a lot of passages. Where do I go? And it's this Hebrews thing, and it's not just in Hebrews, it's all over it, that we are made holy, that we are made perfect. This exchange that Mary was talking about, that we get to exchange this trading, that's not a coincidence that song was up there today, this trading our sorrows for joy, that's what I want to convey. And that's what the book of Hebrews, the author of Hebrews, is trying to convey to these people who are having a hard time. Chapter 13, our last chapter, verse 1. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. I love it when somebody calls me brother. I think that is so cool. I always have for my entire life, even when I was growing up in Detroit and somebody called me brother, and even as I had my friends and somebody would call me brother, as my family would call me brother, you know, it's just such a term of endearment, of connectedness. Family is so important. And family is not just our immediate family, there's the church family, right? There's our friends, there's the neighborhood. There's, you know, my daughter right now, they got a neighbor across the way who met their dog, and their dog's man, Zeke, just goes nuts, goes ballistic, and they're going to bring cookies to him. You know, they're making friends, they're making associations, they're learning about their new neighborhood. We do that all the time, right? And we have brothers and sisters. I love my sisters in the Lord. I think of my sister over there, Julia. It's just, God has just gifted you so much. I love my sisters, my sister Tisa, my sister Kathy, every sister in this room. You're all my sisters. You're all my brothers. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. We just talked about this in our group, you know, our men's group, that, you know, we're taught the golden rule is to treat others and to love others the way you want to be treated or loved, right? But then Jesus steps it up one, and he says, hey, you know what, no, I want you to do a little bit better. I want you to love them as I love you, and I love you completely, unconditionally. And so now, as this author is talking to this church in the book of Hebrews, he's saying, I want you to love everyone around you, even the ones that are persecuting you, even the ones that aren't treating you right, even the ones that won't let you make an income. I want you to love them. Love them. Completely. Unconditionally. Keep on. And this is the other part. I love this church, because this church does what we're talking about here. This church does what we're talking about without even asking you to do it. So it's keep on loving. Keep on doing what you're already doing. Keep up the good work. The world is watching. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. You never know. You never know who you're talking to, do you? You never know what God's up to. Hospitality. Man, hospitality is so cool. I think, have you ever gone in somebody's house, and as soon as you come in the door, they're saying, oh, well, I have this seat, and can I get you something to drink, and what do you, would you like a little snack? And they're just waiting on you hand and foot, and making sure that you feel at home. I think of Mike. Man, dude, you're like on the road constantly. And so at the hotels, do they make you feel at home all the time? And when you're out traveling around, you always feel like at home. I don't know about you, but when I go on vacation, I love coming back because I get to come home. I get to come home. I love to go to somebody's house that understands hospitality because they treat me as if I'm at home. You know, if you're at your family's and you need something to eat or drink, they don't always just even just wait on you. They just say, hey, there's a refrigerator. You go get whatever you want, whenever you want. I don't care if it's 3 o'clock in the morning. You get up, you just go open up the fridge. We got all kinds of stuff. My sister-in-law would actually, she's passed now, Kathy. She would actually call Mary and I, and she would ask us a grocery list of what do we like. What kind of cereal, what kind of foods, what kind of drinks. And she would literally write it all down. And when we got there, remember that? She would have all that stuff and more. Because she would get the little extras too. Like, oh, well, you guys didn't think about chocolate. And so she'd get some of that over there too. Or some different kind of snacks or something. But she made sure she knew what it meant to be hospitable. And so what I want to say here is if you're struggling in that area, and some of us do better than others, I just say look to the fruit of the Spirit. We're closing out our study on Monday night, and kindness, and gentleness, and love, and joy, and peace. And what we've been expressing is that's already all inside of us. Patience, joy, love, it's already inside of us. And to be hospitable, all we have to do is bring it out. And people will see that and they will love that. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison. And those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. That's a hard one. To share in suffering. We were, coincidence I think now, we were just talking about prisons. As we were talking about Japan before service started, and about recidivism rates and how in Japan the recidivism rate is really low because the whole community, the whole family gets involved. And here in the United States, sadly, the recidivism rate is pretty high. Visiting people in prisons, being there when somebody is in their lowest place. I think of Matt when he's worked in the prison system. That had to be hard. It continues to be hard, but he's a man of God who's in that system, and he can help them find God. I know so many chaplains. What a job. I'm so impressed by prison chaplains. They go there, and they literally live there for half of their life, you know, and all their working days to take care of these people who've made mistakes or made missteps or whatever happened to them. And they're bringing them, and I'm telling you, they're bringing them to the Lord in droves. Tons of people. I'll tell you one thing that our prison system does right is they bring people to the Lord. The chaplain system is amazing in our country. And those who are being mistreated, when we see somebody in need, and we reach out and we help them, we're being God to them. And sometimes it literally feels that way because there is such a situation that there's nobody except for that one lone Christian who understands the love of God and shows that love of God. Can I get an amen? You know what I'm talking about here. And as we share our lives, our love, that's what we talked about before. That Paul is talking about sharing his life, not just his message. Marriage should be honored by all. And the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. You know, our society has just made a field day with this one. And the word that really strikes me in this one is honorable. We are called to be honorable. We are called to be honorable in our marriages. We are called to be honorable in our family relationships. We are called to be honorable in our friendships. We are called to be honorable in our businesses. We are called to be honorable in everything we say and do and even think. And even if somebody riles us up, anybody get riled? I get riled. But God, you know, God changes that, right? I'm looking at some people in the room. I won't mention names right now, but they used to get more riled up than they get now. And because they let God step in, they don't need to get riled up. They know the honorable thing of how to treat people. They know that God's the one in control. See, this is what all of this is what God has to offer us. He has so much to offer us to make our lives better, not just in the future when we die, but now, the here and now, every moment of every day. And I get up here and I say all this and I preach all this, and I don't want to be a hypocrite to you, because don't think I'm doing this perfect, because I'm not. Not even close. But I'm working on it. One of the other words that came up in our worship, the key to all of it actually, was surrender. Just surrender. It doesn't sound like a forceful, powerful thing to do, but actually it is. It is the most forceful, powerful thing you can ever do, is surrender to the Lord. Because that takes a lot of guts. That takes a lot of trust. That takes a lot of willpower. Keep your lives free from the love of money. And be, here it is, and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So, content. How in the world do we get content? Because I'm going to tell you, as soon as you get content, man, this world or the enemy or a thought will pop into your head that's going to make it so you're not content. Can you relate? If I just had this other thing, if I just had that better job, if I just had some better relationships with my children, if I just had this other house, if I just had this other personnel, if I just didn't get this and I didn't get that, if I didn't get upset, if I didn't. It's all an illusion. It all means nothing. And you know it's true. Because you know why you know it's true? Because as soon as you get, and you always get, whatever it is you were looking for, most of the times you get it. I've been looking at my life, and God has given me pretty much everything I've ever asked for. And then some. I worked for it, mind you. But he's given me everything, including the ability to work. But as soon as I have it, my eyes are on something else, and I want 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 something else, and he keeps giving it to me. It's like this bottomless pit, and we keep throwing stuff in there, and it doesn't fix it until we put the one thing into the bottomless pit that will fill it, which is Jesus. God is the only one that can fill that hole. God is the only one that can make us content. We cannot be content with all the things of this world. It will never, ever work. I guarantee it. It's been tried. It's been tried with people who win a lottery and have billions of dollars. It's been tried by Hollywood stars who have fame, have fortunes, have houses, have cars. It's been tried by ministers, and it's been tried by everybody and their brother. And the ones who have finally learned how to be content learned about Jesus. And of course, he created us. He made us. Of course, he's the only one who can sustain us. Of course, he's the only one that can fulfill us. I still talk about, you know, ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit every day. Dear Holy Spirit, fill me. Dear Holy Spirit, take control. Dear Holy Spirit, if you're really gutsy, convict me. Show me what's not pleasing to our Lord. Just look what it says. Keep your lives free from the love of money. That'll take you down so fast. We don't even need to talk about that one. And be content with what you have. Be content with what you have. Remember who he's talking to. He's talking to these people who are being persecuted who have nothing. Be content that you can't make a living right now. Be content that they're persecuting you. Be content that you're an outcast. And we could just put our own fill in the blank. Be content with whatever you got going on in your life, right? Be content. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? This takes another level of thinking. This takes another whole dimension. This takes understanding the supernatural, that God is over everything, that the spiritual is much more powerful than the physical or the mental or the emotional, that the spiritual overrides everything. That God is in control of all the physical because he's in control of all the spiritual. And what we need to do is connect up with the spiritual like we did at communion today and be one with God. I mean, you want wisdom? There's only one place you're going to get it. The only one that has wisdom is God, because wisdom is about living how God would have us live and being joyful and having all that fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, patience. Who wants some of this stuff? Everybody wants some of this stuff. And when we have Jesus, as we took communion today, as we have Jesus, we have all of that in an overabundance that is overflowing out to everybody we meet. So what do we do with all this? I know, it sounds easier, right? Be content and confident. Not just content. I don't want you just content, because I'll tell you right now, it won't work. You'll stay content for a little bit and until the next thing that pulls you off track. But I want you to also be confident. I want you to be confident in the Lord, not in you, not in anything you want, not anything you desire. I want you to be confident in God. And if you're confident in God, you'll be content in life. I'm going to say that again. If you're confident in God, you will be content in life. They're connected. Of course they're connected. So as we close, let us close in prayer. Lord, we thank you that we don't need money, we don't need material possessions, we don't need a, as we view it, perfect life, that you've already given us a perfect life, a perfect existence, a perfect communion with you. We thank you that all we need is you. And we are confident that all we need is you. Through Jesus. Amen. Amen. walk up to the screen like I always do and just say, whoa, okay, here we go again. I'm always amazed at how it fits like a glove. You want to be content? You want to be confident? I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. Nobody can make that promise. No person, no advertisement, nothing in this world can make that promise. The only one that can make that promise is the one who can keep that promise, and that's God. And if we simply, and it's always so simple, we make it so complicated. If we simply trust Him with everything, we're done. That's all we got to do. It's not like this whole textbook and you got to learn all this stuff and do all this stuff and make the grade and do everything else. All we have to do is trust God. It's good to read His word and get to know Him and pray to Him, because it's good to know who you're trusting, right? We don't want to trust somebody we don't know. Our moms teach us that early in life, right? Our dads teach us that very early in life. Don't trust anybody. You never know what they're going to do. That's a message I always got. But I trust God. And I know His track record is sterling, perfect. And now, at this later age of my life, He has shown me, through this book of Hebrews, that I am perfect, holy, sinless. That's a mind blower for me. But it's true. And I am content with that. Let us pray. Dear Father God,
Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus, dear Holy Spirit, Jesus. We are content. We are dismissed to love and serve our Lord Jesus. Have an amazing week. Go and share the news.